Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
To continue the conversation of the afternoon, the Browns, with a generous Friday news dump, thank you for the ratings bump, by the way, and they have announced
the
every time,
homes,
every yeah. time. The same
they
thing with Miles
back,
a week ago.
We scratched theirs.
Thank you. I mean, I'd rather winning football, but, you know, the Friday news dump and enraging your fans really does help us in the end, and we appreciate that. But Miles Garrett, another contract restructuring to tell us what it all means and really why the Browns are just smarter than us and we should stop questioning them. I'm sure that's what he's going to say. Darrell Ryder appears now, courtesy. I forgot the sponsor.
Shivan Jewelers.
Shivan Jewelers. Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darrell, please do better than everything I just did there.
You're the one that sounds like you've been up since about 3:30 this morning and not me.
He is on four cups of coffee.
I think I might need a fifth. Maybe that's what this is telling me. Maybe I need to get caffeine intake. So explain the Deshaun Watson contract restructuring in brass tacks for us.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is not really about the cash. The cash remains the same. He will receive every penny of the remaining $92 million that's guaranteed. This is an accounting restructure. Basically, what they've done is they've added dummy years onto the back end of the thing. You put a bogus salary there so that you can post June 1 cut him in 2027. And then all of that extra cap space that you have generated and kind of kicked down the road attached to this contract can be divided over the 2027 and 2028 league years, as opposed to taking one big massive charge when that contract is up. So that's really all this is about. This isn't about Andrew Berry's job security. This isn't about giving Deshaun Watson job security. It is simply a financial computation mechanism that is the salary cap to kick the can further down the road, give them some current flexibility for the next couple of years. This probably isn't the last time it's going to get restructured. They will probably convert, like they've been doing, they'll be converting each year over the remaining years his salary, $46 million. They'll convert about $44 million in change into a signing bonus, and then that is what kind of gets spread out over the remaining dummy years on the contract and whatnot or the next couple of years. So this is all just fancy schmancy salary cap accounting procedure.
Darrell, I know we can't necessarily make any sweeping conclusions from what happened today, but what, sitting here today, like, what do you think all this means in terms of what, how they treat him next year? Like, is he part of a competition? Is he paid to just, like, not be here? Because in some ways, I do think this kind of signals them waving the white flag on, like, yeah, we messed this up, and we got to sort of have our exit strategy mapped out a little bit here. So what do you think that looks like next year, given that we know there's probably two more years of him at least being within this organization and on this roster.
Yeah, he's going to be on the roster at least next year, probably 2026 as well. That's really what this contract restructure means. And it doesn't even mean that. The contract itself told you what it was going to be. On no planet were they going to be able to cut him in 2025. They can't cut him in 2026 either. That's why these dummy years on the back end of the contract are so important, so that once all the cash is paid out for the 2026 season, they can then pursue that 2027 post-June 1 cut to spread out the remaining salary cap damage that exists. So, you know, as far as competition next year, yes, I fully expect them to bring in some NFL starting caliber quarterback. The degree of the quality of the quarterback remains to be seen, but I expect there to be competition for him for that starting job in 2025. That certainly is not guaranteed. Of course, this is a guy who is yet to throw for 300 yards for the Browns in 19 starts. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco did it with their eyes closed.
Daryl, how does this tie into, or does it tie into, Myles Garrett? A week ago, another Friday news dump saying he'd like to see the plan on how they're going to compete this year and beyond.
Well, I think this is a small piece of that plan, Nick, because what it does is it opens up off-season flexibility for them to continue to retool this roster and, in their mind, remain competitive. For me, they're not going to be competitive until they find a quarterback. But, you know, if anything, they are, putting another chip on the table for Miles to see that, hey, you know, we have a plan for managing the disaster that is the cap ramifications related to Deshaun Watson's contract. This is how we're going about it. But the greater plan that they're going to have to present to Miles, guys, is how they're going to win. Who is the quarterback going to be in 2025 and 2026? Because as we've talked about, this is about Myles Garrett wanting to commit beyond the 2 years remaining on his contract, also giving himself, or I should say getting himself, a much-deserved pay raise because he's coming pretty cheap right now, even at about $25 million per year. So this is about the big picture for Garrett and where he is going to be signing his next contract extension.
So the big name, at least today, because Jeremy Fowler talked about it on the This Is Football podcast, is Kirk Cousins. You think Kirk Cousins is enough to get Miles to see the light that Cleveland is the place to be and win?
If Kevin Stefanski can sprinkle some magic fairy dust on Kirk Cousins and stop him from throwing interceptions, possibly. But I don't know that Kirk Cousins solves the problem, right? I mean, the last 2 years, the biggest problem for the Browns offensively has been their turnovers. They committed 37 of them last year. They're at the 30 mark this year, right? And they've got to cut those numbers down and stop putting the defense back on the field in bad positions. So I don't know that Kirk Cousins makes Myles Garrett all that happy or content or willing to sign another extension here. But quite frankly, I don't know what the answer at quarterback is that would get Miles to want to stay.
Along those lines, though, Daryl, if the goal is, like, let's stay competitive now, let's see what the free agent market looks like, let's bring in a veteran that we think we can win and compete now with, does that rule out drafting a quarterback in round one? Because shouldn't they be using that pick on trying to bolster a roster around a potential quarterback and not using it on a rookie quarterback that might not even play immediately?
I have no interest in this quarterback class when it comes to the Browns using their first-round pick. So I mentioned this morning, I think this needs to be a meat and potatoes draft, to use the old Phil Savage term. No dessert yet. You're not good enough. You need meat and potatoes. You need a defensive line. You need offensive line help. So that's where I think the focus needs to be with that first-round pick. And then you see where you're at. Maybe you draft a guy later, like you've been doing, Maybe you move on from Dorian Thompson-Robinson in the offseason, and you go ahead and make way for the next mid-round drafted quarterback to see if maybe there's something there. And then you kind of kick the can forward to the 2026 draft, where, I don't know, maybe the class will be better. But I'm not really sold on this quarterback class. It sounds like a lot of the analysts that really dive into this on a regular basis are also not sold on this quarterback class. So I would, again, rather the Browns use that pick on a meat and potatoes player in the trenches.
Daryl, it's a bit of speculation making the rounds on social media. It might be informed, it might not be, but one thing that I saw is the idea that one change we could see is maybe Andrew Berry elevated to president of football operations, hire a new GM, so you do have somebody maybe new drafting, so you have a new person ahead of that, but then Berry's still in charge of the verticals and the processes and whatnot. Do you think that is something the Browns might be considering?
Well, did that speculation arise from the morning show? Because I like threw that out this morning. Is, you know, I was just kind of spitballing a little bit, thinking of ways like, okay, if they're committed to Andrew, while I can't make a case for him to remain the guy picking the players, I do respect his intelligence. And, you know, if you want to keep him in the organization, well, promote him. Make him president of football operations. Hire a pure blood NFL old-fashioned general manager who can look at players and say, that guy can play, that guy can't play. That's what I think the Browns need. And they also need somebody that can get to the core of players, whether it's off-the-field problems, whether it's their ability to learn and implement playbooks, whether it's their, you know, how they fit within a locker room, their personalities, what makes them tick. Because if it ain't on a spreadsheet, I just think Andrew Berry really struggles with it. So they need somebody that gets and understands football players to their core. And I realize Andrew's a former football player himself, but let's be honest about it. He's brought in guys with off-the-field problems. He's brought in guys that have problems with playbooks. He's brought in guys that just flat-out can't play. So they need to shore up the personnel department this offseason. So whether that means you promote Andrew to keep him and you bring in somebody to help, I'm pretty much all for whatever makes that personnel department better, because it needs to be much better than it's been.
Daryl, we do have this game on Sunday, despite amidst all this craziness to play.
Yeah, there's that. Great. Awesome.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Get to watch another one of these things. If DTR has another dud performance like he did in this past week in Week 16, on Sunday, are we poised for a Bailey Zappe game in Week 18?
One can only pray, right?
Love the Bailey Zappe game.
The suspense over QB40 is killing me right now.
Zappe.
I am happy for Zappe, absolutely. Like, if it's another dud, go for it. What do you have to lose? Another game? Big deal. You've been doing that plenty this year. So go in the same way you came out, with a loss. But, I'm on pins and needles to find out who the 40th different starting quarterback since 1999 is going to be. Will it be Bailey Zappe? Or will they wait until next year, or I should say next season, to unveil QB40? I can't
they're pretty
wait.
Good at drawing out the misery, so I would expect that to happen next year, right? Maybe get a slogan
maybe
around
Friday
it.
Friday news dump it too.
Well, you know what they need to do, Nick? They need to, we got to find a good UB40 music bed for QB40. That's what needs to happen.
I see what you did there, Daryl.
You know, it's a Friday. This has been a kind of a wonky day. I'm going to give it to you, buddy.
You're going
to
let it slide out. I appreciate that.
No. It was good. It was creative. We like creativity.
Have better
here.
Jokes in 2025 is what Nick wants to say.
No promises.
No promises.
No. I'm trying. Just let me. Why won't anyone let me give them a nice compliment? All right? Multiple times.
Because we know that you're full of you know what.
Multiple times I've tried to compliment the morning show, and that's the thing. I've taken literal shots at them. And they don't, those don't register.
That's why they.
But when
that
I try and say something nice
compliment.
And I fail, that's when they see the shot. I just accept my compliment, damn you. With that being said, and I forgot what I was going to ask. Pair of the two. Oh.
Something about UB40 and QB40, what?
No. For you specifically, does it matter how competitive these next two games are? Because the last three have not been really competitive at all for the Browns.
I mean, look, I'd like to see them not go out and lay an egg. I certainly acknowledge them winning does not do them much good when it comes to the draft pick. But I feel like that the way they play the game, Nick, certainly matters from a culture standpoint. But let's be honest about it. They've played sloppy football the whole season with the pre-snap penalties, with turnovers, blown assignments and things like that. Like it's just been one thing after another this season. We have seen them at times down the stretch here where they are competitive, and then we've just kind of seen times where it looks like they're out of gas. So hopefully they don't look like they're out of gas at about 4:15 Sunday afternoon.
Darryl, going back to the Deshaun news real quick, we know that this means that Deshaun's likely part of the roster for the next two seasons.
Yeah.
Does this also give Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry 2 years to sort of navigate this thing, or is that still kind of on a year-by-year thing from your perspective?
Yeah, I don't think this restructure has anything to do with either one of their futures or impact on either one of their futures. I think what will impact their future is, from Berry's standpoint, the ability to retool this thing for 2025, and then obviously for Kevin Stefanski, his ability to win some games next year. That, to me, that will have direct results on their futures.
Darryl, we got about 30 seconds here. Have you taken down your Christmas tree already?
No, that goes. I take that down on New Year's Day. That's the tradition.
There we go.
Oh, all right. That's very.
You got to make it at least to the first. I mean, come on.
Now, because we saw Jeff Schwartz, Mitchell Schwartz's older brother, his wife was dragging their tree out of their house at 9 p.m. the day after Christmas, and they literally had just gotten back from Utah. It felt personal.
That's a little aggressive for me. Now, I will probably take the outdoor decorations down and put those away because it's going to be 50 degrees this weekend, and I'm definitely going to take advantage of the warm weather there.
Yeah, so. I missed the last window to clean up all the leaves of my house. And every time I look out there, I just have massive anxiety. That'll probably be my weekend. It's going to be great. I love being an adult. I don't know about you. This is so much fun.
Well, because you live in the country, Nick, I would just leave those leaves now because you have various elements of nature using those leaves to stay warm over the winter months. So I'd leave them till the spring.
I actually live in the city again.
Remember, live in the city again?
Yeah, we moved to Wadsworth.
Yeah, but still, leave them on
the ground. Oh, no, don't.
Nope,
no.
Nope.
They've got 25,000 people in the city. That's a city.
I'm a hillbilly.
I'm dead serious. Leave the leaves until probably, I would say, mid-April or so.
Well, we'll pray for your health. Darryl, we appreciate you, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, bud. Darryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Reactions to everything Darryl had to say about the state of the Browns and more next on 92.3 The Fan. Quarterback situation going forward, and I will tell you, if this is all about, and this is obviously we've spent a lot of today talking about the Deshaun situation, but if this next year is about finding a quarterback that Myles Garrett and Joel Bitonio and Denzel Ward can all look at and go, this guy gives us a chance to compete this year, I think it might be better off if you just went to Miles and said, give us your quarterback rankings for the 2025 offseason and basically rank them in terms of how you think we could win and maybe going off that. Because this just feels like a needle in a haystack situation. One, finding the best and most salient and affordable quarterback option this year, but then finding one that's going to make Miles think, I'm not totally wasting another year of my career here.
Who do you think would be at the top of Miles' list?
Okay, I don't think anyone's going to like this. I think it's Aaron Rodgers. You can't tell me. I've watched Aaron play the last. He's playing really, really good football. They're not winning. They're not winning because of him right now. It's because they're in the middle of a lost season. I don't think he fits what Kevin wants to do, which is hugely problematic. Yeah. I only want a quarterback that fits whatever, which is why Kirk Cousins makes some modicum of sense. The problem is, Aaron is playing the best football of any of the quarterbacks that are going to be available this year, unless you really are falling in love with Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, and it's a big no for me on either one of them, Dawg.
I honestly feel like Miles, if you just give him a name, he'll be like a notable name. If you brought in Aaron Rodgers, he would just be happy about it because it's Aaron Rodgers.
So are you telling me that Miles is no better than like your average football fan? That a guy who watches this much tape can't tell me whether he thinks Kirk Cousins are booty cheeks or not?
I mean, I'm not saying it's that, but like if they said,
hey, what have you heard about this Aaron Rodgers guy?
I think if they said like, oh, we're gonna bring Russell Wilson in, and like the Steelers had a good year and won the division, he'd be like, oh yeah, we can do what the Steelers did last year with Russell Wilson. He had a pretty good year. Like I think he would believe that. I do.
I got to be honest. I think I got to give Myles Garrett more credit than that.
I mean, I'm not trying to like disparage Myles Garrett. He's a smart dude. I just feel like.
But he's dumb enough to be like, hey, let's play the name game. Maybe we should hook him up to a lie detector test, and then we just.
Do you
like this name? Yes.
You don't think if they said, hey.
He's telling the truth.
You don't think if they said, hey, Kirk Cousins. And they pulled up his numbers from when he played with Kevin Stefanski. They're like, look what they did together. Like,
and
this
so,
could be something.
So Miles
like,
doesn't
hey,
have
yeah,
Google.
I like that.
Miles can't Google what year that was.
I mean, you think Miles?
Let's see. Kevin's been here for 5 years. Is it 2024, 2023, 2022?
You think Miles couldn't look back at like what Deshaun was doing the previous four games, and then when Kevin Stefanski kept saying, he gives us the best chance to win. You don't think he was sitting there like. He definitely doesn't give us the best chance to win.
No, that's why I think there were multiple issues in the locker room because they kept saying things publicly which didn't line up with the total chaos that was going on in the locker room. But again, that never happened because nothing bad ever happens with these guys. They're in total control. They're smarter than you. And if I mentioned that they're smarter than you, they know ball. You don't know ball. I don't know ball.
I definitely don't know ball.
Hey, listen, can they draft? No. Can they make salient trades? Not really. Can
it's a wide receiver.
Can they trade for
wide
can they make a good decision at quarterback? Absolutely not. But are they smarter than you and do they know more ball than you? Absolutely.
They know ball than I'll ever they'll forget about more ball than I'll ever learn.
Maybe you should just go back to playing hide the pickle,
probably.
Kid. you're gonna trip yourself into a euphemism.
I definitely messed that phrase
up. I like that the first 3 hours of today's show was me getting very close to saying something that was going to get me thrown off the show next week, and then the last 2 hours have you been skirting that line. Not to me. This has been a real team effort today.
Well, I tell you, I've worked with you long enough to know that like you got.
Do you think they high-fived after the restructuring?
Do you think Andrew Berry and Deshaun high five?
No, all
think,
of
like,
them.
Oh, okay.
Do you think there was like a big? You know, they're all nerds, and they're all in like the nerdery, and they've got there's charts and PowerPoints up, and they're like, hey guys, just so you know, we did it again.
I'm envisioning,
and then they missed high fives because they're nerds.
I'm envisioning the scene from the Giants' Hard Knocks, where like they're all in Joe Shane's office, and they're like talking through things, and they're like, you know. Yeah, like I think this guy's got some real potential. Like we don't need Saquon Barkley. We can get Devin Singletary and we're gonna invest and like as soon as they like do it, they're like applauding around the table, good decision.
Who's got the latest TikTok dance? Because we're gonna try and do it here on the fly. Because we're crazy.
No. Kevin doesn't know that stuff.
Somebody break out the wine coolers because it's about to get turned here.
We had to tell Kevin what was the viral dude who was like the Texans fan? What was his name? Mac, you know this. I know you know this.
The kid Sketch.
We had to tell Kevin Stefanski who Sketch was. I forgot who he was. So clearly.
By the way, no. Kevin has like teenage kids.
Yes, and that's
the
whole.
There's no way.
That was the entire conversation.
No way.
We like, explained it to him, and he was like, "Yeah, my kids don't know about this."
Does that guy say anything honest? I'm telling you right now.
Well. He did lie because he says he didn't know what his next opponent was, and then on Hard Knocks I saw him showing the next four opponents on the screen.
really only in the here and now. Can't possibly look ahead.
Guys, this is your schedule. Dolphins next week.
Oh, by the way, 3 weeks we're in Bora Bora. This has been fun. This has been really fun just making a mockery of a Browns organization that they've done a good job of making a mockery out of. We got one segment to go, and... Spencer's first ever, in case we missed it, right here with Nick and Spencer live at Teams in Middleburg Heights on 92.3 The Fan.